Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today is a BSG-centric episode. Today we have with us Carl.
Hey, Kat.
Hello. And Phineas returns.
Yo.
Yo, I like that. Okay. And we have Eric.
Hey.
Y'all sound very enthusiastic about Battlestar Galactica. To start off with Battlestar Galactica, The Plan, the made-for-DVD movie special thing, if you want to call it, that was released October 27th, 2009. It was directed by Edward James Olmos, which, you know, I kind of wanted to go a little easy on it because of that. I like him, but, well, I'm not going to give my opinion just yet. Let's go with Carl. Carl, what did you think about Battlestar Galactica, The Plan?
The Plan. Well, you know, I'm not a real big fan of Galactica to start with. So,
really? Shut your mouth. Keep...
Yeah, I'm just saying.
So, it has robots. What are you talking about?
Yeah, okay. See, don't start with
okay,
me.
All right.
So, it one of the things that sort of kept me intrigued, or at least kept me watching Galactica all this time, has been trying to piece together what was going on. You know, you sort of kept led along a little bit by a little bit, you know, where the story's going and you know, the questions that are trying to be answered. And when I watched the series, it kind of felt like there was no plan to the whole series. So I kept thinking, okay, well, you know, now we're seeing the plan. This is going to be the unveiling. This is going to be the monster arc that just ties everything neatly together. And when I saw the plan, you kind of left feeling that was the plan. You know, that was the best that they could come up with after. I was a little disappointed with the plan. When you finally figure out what the overall plan was. And it's got that whole kumbaya feel to it where, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, love confuses the robots. And that's why they lost. You know, it's that same line that we've seen since old Star Trek, you know, where, you know, just like Captain Kirk tries to confuse them with a thought puzzle. And then all the machines break down. Please don't let this be it again. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I also have a thing about Galactica killing off kids. You know, I'm tired of that, okay? I didn't like the pilot. Right. And to punctuate, you know, how bad things were, killing off more kids, I'm just tired.
I mean, the kid gave him an apple, and he got shanked for that. That was just crazy.
Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Okay, Phineas.
Here's my thing. It would have been better if they would have taken the plan and kind of incorporated it into the original miniseries. Because basically that's all they did. First of all, I was disappointed of how much stuff got pasted in from the original series and kind of got plopped in to make it look like it was something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I do not like humanizing villains. I mean, it's just like what they did with Star Wars with Darth Vader, you know? I like Darth Vader better when he was this invincible being that could just think at you and choke you to death. That's how I felt about the Cylons till I watched this, and then it just turned the Cylons into these stupid, misguided
Borg.
Yeah, that just decided, okay, one day we're just gonna do the Centurions a favor and take out the whole human race. You know, still every time they planned something, it failed. I mean, I just don't buy that. It wasn't believable.
Mm-hmm.
I did like some of the some of the shots, like even though that's another gripe I've always had, when the Cylons scan the ships, how the ships kind of go start going out of control, I didn't like the way they did that. I never have in any of the series. I mean, if I'm going in a straight line and I cut my power and my controls cut off and everything cuts off, I'm going in a straight line. The ship is not going to turn. So they kind of did that to kind of exaggerate, you know, the effect of being out of control a little bit. I think they played that a little bit too much. I did like how the base ships kind of twisted into like a, you know, like a triangle. That was kind of cool, you know. So I liked some of the effects that they put in there that you didn't see in the original.
Yeah, I agree.
But as a story, it really sucked. I mean, it really, really sucked. I mean, I did not learn anything from it.
Right.
You know, and it just to me, it was just an afterthought. It was something they came up with after they came up with that barrage of mess that they did with the original story, when really, I could have accepted it better if they would have done something like this or shown both sides of the issue in the miniseries. This would have made the miniseries a whole heck of a lot better. But as a separate thing, nah, they totally lost me on that. Another thing, this whole thing about the Sharon thing, I liked it better when Sharon absolutely did not know what she was doing. This implied that the whole time she really knew what she was doing. And I didn't really care for that too much. I liked it better when she was just a sleeper agent and then she just kind of unconsciously or went to some state where she went to action and came back. I was more intrigued by that. And one last thing before I pass it off to Eric, that whole deal with the guy who marries the woman and her kid, you know, and him blasting himself out the airlock and that little cheesy shot of him floating in space, they could have left that out. I mean, they could have left that out. That and the two castles floating in outer space, you know, hand
holding
in hand.
Holding hands, yeah, that was a big
They totally humanized the villain, and that's what I didn't like about it. So, okay, that's the end of the initial.
All right, good rant, sir. Eric.
I'm a fan of the plan, and I rather
okay,
like
why?
It.
How?
Well, because, first of all, the last new episode of BSG that I really liked, because I didn't really like anything in the entire fourth season, pretty much, 4.0 or 4.5. The last episode I really liked was Razor, the unofficial first episode of the fourth season. I haven't liked anything since. And the plan has been the first thing since Razor that I liked. And so I was like, oh, this is good. And I thought it was just good as an epilogue piece, you know, basically what it was, like something just kind of to touch on, kind of wrap things up, not necessarily to be like epic, like the actual series finale, but just something to just kind of tie into the entire story.
But and that's not what that they level, sold it was, as, Eric. They sold it as this was going to be a revelation. I mean, I really thought that we were going to learn anything new. Did we learn anything new? I don't think so. So what was the point? What was the point?
Well, first of all, I didn't have it built up to be all that. But
okay.
Having said that, so I didn't go in with those expectations. But I still thought that, wow, this is interesting. I mean, it wasn't groundbreaking, earth-shattering, but I thought I learned a lot of things along the whole way. I mean, because I think it was they pulled off something that was really difficult. I know a lot of people don't like the fact that a lot of it was reused footage from the past, but I was just marveling at how well they did that because they integrated a lot of the scenes. So many of them were half original footage, half new footage that was filmed recently, and they put it together so well, oftentimes you couldn't even tell when they switched to new film footage from the original stock.
I'll give you that.
And they did that throughout the whole thing, and I was like, man, this is a nightmare. I mean, this is, for the makers, it was a nightmare to try to make that all work right, and then to try to sync events with like the real events as they played out in the series. And I listened to about half the commentary earlier today for the plan. And that's all they kept talking about was they had to go back and, you know, do their research, like check their own show history to make sure things were lining up the right way. Okay, this happens in 33, this happened in Water, you know, I think considering all the constraints they already set up for themselves, you know, to work within a certain box, they did pretty good, and I liked it. And another funny thing with seeing some of the old clips from the series, it reminded me of how entertaining I thought Gaius was in the first season or two. Because he was not really funny in the last, you know, two seasons or so. And it was so, I mean, they had that line, you know, no more Mr. Nice Gaius and all those things. That was pretty good. I was entertained, you know. And, yeah, it was good. It's one of my more liked episodes.
Okay, well, I'm going to, you know, technically, it looked good. It was, you know, well constructed and all of that. So I'll give you, yes, yeah. I saw how they did some of that classic, you know, Back to the Future 2 mixing of the old and the new footage together in a seamless way. I agree with Phineas. I like the finally getting to see what the deal was with that triangle wedge shape for the Cylon motherships. Had we ever seen it do that before?
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. But I mean, my beef is, okay, take a series like Babylon 5. Okay, when they had some killer. Look, I really like Babylon 5, and they had some killer story arcs. Where, you know, you're watching, you know, for months on end, you're going, what are they doing? And then, bam, you know, it all comes together in a way that's coherent, is powerful. And so when I'm watching, I mean, we've seen that it can be done. We've seen that's good, that can be done with good sci-fi. So I'm watching Galactica, and I keep thinking that, you know, that's the kind of arc that's going to pull stuff together. And so as I'm watching the series, I keep thinking, oh, well, this is going to be big, or this is going to have a strong sense of closure. And right up until the end, you know, you're watching the series finale. You're watching the end of the series, and you're going, come on, you know, there's got to be something that ties all this together. There's got to be something that makes sense out of this. Then, you know, they come out with an episode called The Plan. You're thinking, okay, now we're going to see, you know, what these guys have been thinking all the time, because when I watch Galactica, you know, the production value is so high and they take us in so many different directions. You're really thinking that, okay, these guys have got a big timeline laid out across a wall somewhere that they haven't told us about, and these pieces are going to come together in a significant way, and then, bam, you know, we're left with, you know, just this frayed, mangled stuff. You're coming out with something called The Plan. The Plan, for crying out loud. Come, at least, you know, not just show me something that's new, but give me some new insights, you know, that start to bring together what it is that we've experienced. And, you know, like I said, technically, it was very pretty. I like the battle, the destruction. No one does destruction like Galactica. You know, it's very, very well done. Cities are devastated. But I really wanted to see more about what was going on, and if this was what the Cylons had in mind, it was just really disappointing.
The mistake that I think they made was, instead, if they could have executed this better, if they would have not made it for the so much for the fans, you know what I mean? It's sort of like
they didn't make that for me.
No. I'm just saying they kind of made was a doggy biscuit for the fans. instead of just really thinking out, okay, what would be a creative way to add to and enhance what's going on, which is what I expected. What they did was they just said, okay, the fans have all these, you know, they looked in the forums again, and they said, hey, we got all these unanswered questions, so we're just going to just tape it all together with some duct tape, you know. And make it look good. And because here's why I say that. I have a lady friend over, and we both watched it after I watched it the first time. Another story. Anyway, when she looked at it, she had no. To go to show you how bad the storyline was in comparison to the other show that we're going to be commenting on, when we watched both of these series. With this series, unless you knew exactly everything that happened in the series, this show did not make any sense at all. And another thing that they did that disappointed me was they cheated me out of the whole origin of the Final Five. That was another thing that they cheated you out of. Okay, how the heck did it go from Final Five, the creator, to this one rogue Cylon that decides to destroy everything and teach his creators a lesson. How did they wind up in the tub and you know, wind up amongst the humans? I mean, they left all of that out, which would have been probably more interesting than seeing all blundered attempts to destroy the human race. I mean, I would have liked to see that. I would like to see, hey, them pop up on a spaceship and say, hey, leave the humans alone. We're going to hook you up with this new technology to make yourself human-like, and see how that played into the picture, and then saw the drama unfold of how Cavill, you know, brainwashed them and took over. You know, that would have been more interesting than to see what we saw.
You're right about that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you know, this episode remind me of, have you ever read like a Star Trek book, how they write the books, but they're not allowed to change anything in canon, so they can't kill off a character and stuff like that? That's what this thing remind me of. So it's just basically like a one big, I guess, BSG circle jerk of not really doing anything, but just putting on a display of, you know, a big hot mess. I mean, we had the skanky Simon sex scene. I mean, it was cute, you know, but really, do we need another sex scene? Do we need not 7 of 9, Caprica 6 slinking around doing all this stuff? I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure people enjoyed that or whatever, but it was just a total waste.
I did like the Barbaric 6, though. The Barbaric 6 was live, though. You know, she's slinking around.
Of course she would say that. Of course she would say that, Phineas. But what I'm just saying, we've seen that like several times before, and I was just exhausted with the whole thing. I didn't learn anything new. I didn't see the point of making it just seem like an exercise in, hey, Edward James almost has a thing that he's going to do, and let's just support it. And that's basically why I watched it.
I don't know. I was entertained. I was entertained. I was glad to see it. Like I said, first BSG that I'd been interested in about 20 episodes.
No, you said you liked when Dee got committed suicide. You said you liked that.
I like that. That was one intriguing moment out of like the whole fourth series for me. Like I perked up at that moment and I thought, "Ooh, this is about to get interesting." Like, and then,
and it didn't.
No, it didn't. But no, because again, because like when I was done with the series finale, which I was almost comatose in the whole time watching that, like. I just felt like, okay, that's it. BSG just died a slow death, and that was that. But seeing the plan now, like, you know, however many months after the finale, the plan actually reminded me of how much I enjoyed the first two seasons.
I will give you that.
It makes me want to go back and rewatch the first two seasons, because I pretty much love BSG from beginning to
New Caprica.
When they end up on New Caprica. Everything there is like solid, and then once they get off New Caprica, it just starts like teetering from that point.
I agree. It did give me the little nostalgia. I will agree with that.
And I guess I didn't even think about getting more in depth into how the final five got put into the tubs in the first place. I didn't even think about that until you guys just brought it up. But I was just satisfied just with the little bit of setup for where all the five started at the beginning, because I had been wondering that. Like, you know, how did Anders get there, and the president's assistant, and Ty's wife? I actually found those things, you know, interesting. Yeah, and it wasn't groundbreaking or anything like that.
It should have been.
I wasn't expecting that at all. I just completely didn't go in with that mindset, like going in. And I liked seeing more of PyCon, you know, and little things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed those things, and I thought Six still, like with the new film stuff, the actress who plays Six, I thought she had, again, more. Man, I think she just has amazing performances throughout the series. Like, I know a lot of people say that a lot, but she really does. Like, when she plays the different Sixes, you know? And I just saw, like, a lot of good things. And see, I was going in expecting, like, I was going into it expecting, like, a 2. And I guess I got a 2.5 or 3 out of it, so I was just all happy, pretty much.
I went in with low expectations, and then it went lower than that.
I never got that feeling, like, all the way through.
You know what? Maybe maybe I would have had a little bit better attitude about it if I wouldn't have saw Caprica first. And
I saw Caprica first as well.
I was very impressed with that. And for me, from that to the plan, maybe they should have released it the other way around, and maybe I would have had a better attitude about the capabilities and the limitations of writers.
Well, speaking of Caprica, y'all ready to move on, or do you have anything else to say about the plan?
I'm good.
I think that's it for the plan.
Crickets.
Amen.
Okay, so the makers of BSG is coming out with a new prequel to Battlestar Galactica, which sounds like a nightmare, but not necessarily so, called Caprica. It was... This thing came out in January on DVD, right? And... No, I'm sorry.
No, it was like April of 2009.
You're right. But it took me until October to watch it.
I was twisting your arm.
Yeah, it took a lot of that to get me to watch it. And guess what? I ended up liking Caprica. I liked it a lot. Anybody want to go first, volunteer first to go on Caprica?
Me, yeah.
Phineas, I heard you grumbling. That means you go first, sir.
I like Caprica only for one reason. I mean, basically, it's nothing but a drama. I mean, there really wasn't a whole bunch of high-tech effects in it, really. You know, and everything was like, you know, dealing with a concept of virtual reality and racial aspects between some, you know, aspects of different political things about racism and the mob and all that stuff. And then at the end, you know, and the whole where, you know, it gives you the origin of where the one true God came from. But you know what? The thing I like about this, and it's very simple, is not about how high tech it was. I still think that if they would have started like from this point and went forward, I think it would have made even the Battlestar Galactica series that much better, because then you would have been through that would have gave this thing could have went on for years.
No, I'm glad it didn't.
But the thing is I liked it because anybody could have watched it and enjoyed it. I mean,
yeah.
I had a lady friend here. She was sitting here watching it and didn't know anything about Battlestar Galactica, not even really a sci-fi fan. So don't ask me what she was doing here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But
chick about wow.
Just the fact that she could sit up and enjoy it without knowing anything about the series is what impressed me most about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the season will do the pilot justice, because I really enjoyed it for that reason. It was just like I was watching a whole new show, and I didn't have to know any history behind anything, and just the whole concept of in the end, you know, you got this Cylon thing with this personality in it, and that's smart enough to recreate itself. That's kind of a hip concept there, you know. So that's all I have to say about it. I really enjoyed it just for those two reasons.
I was really impressed that Zoe, her beliefs, she's the very reason why the Cylons believe the way they do. I mean, it's fascinating that a misguided teenager's religious fad was the foundation of the first artificial intelligence, and because of that, it led to humans' destruction. And I just thought that was pretty good. Simple, but good. Carl, let's go with you.
I was trying to figure out why I enjoyed Caprica so much more than Galactica. You know, because you assume it's the same crew writing it. And I'm still not exactly sure yet. I think Galactica, right from the beginning, had this crushing depression around it. You know, from the very beginning, it's like, oh, you know they're losing. The planets are going. the ships, and just from that point, it just kept getting more and more and more depressing, and it just felt claustrophobic to me as a series. I'm still not quite sure what it was, but I had to like rest up before I watched Galactica. I was like, okay, here we go. And then you take a deep breath and you jump in. And that's not for seasons you'd have to do that. That's not cool. Caprica, again, we know what's coming. You know, we know that there's a destruction. We're watching the creation of a destructive force, but still there is a I don't know. There's more of an openness about the series. There's more space for the characters. No pun intended. I don't know. Yes, I did like Caprica. I like Caprica a lot. I very much liked the artificial intelligence aspect of it. Of course, you know. I mean, there is the drama that's going on in the series, and I thought it was well done what they did in terms of integrating the religion, integrating the, you know, sort of racial mob aspect that they were talking about, you know, seeing the stratification of societies. You know, you got the rich planets and the poor planets and how badly the people are treated, you know, and elements of this I've seen before. Elements of all of this I've seen before, which is the other crazy thing. If you just look at the AI portion of Caprica, the AI virtual reality, it felt like Max Headroom. It felt like Wild Palms. Yep. It felt like, you know, all of these old classic AI, early cyberpunk kind of things that I had seen before. And not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. They took elements out of each one of those that I liked from the old series. And it was really exciting. Heck, I mean, technically, you want to do it. It was even a little Space Above and Beyond. You know, you guys remember the androids in that one. It came from this pristine world of logic, and they were looking for something beyond logic, and so they loved gambling because the randomness in it was sort of like their religion. You know, they knew there was something beyond what was the cold logic of, you know, of true and false, and so they created it in Space Above and Beyond. They created a religion about the randomness of gambling, and so to see, you know, again these super AIs questing for something more than what they're programmed for to try and it's very interesting. So yes, I was shocked at how much I liked Caprica, and oh man, come on, the effects,
seeing
that Cylon take out the drones.
That was one of my favorites. Yeah.
Man, that was pretty. And again, you know, I'm always talking about consistency throughout, you know, a series or having a believable framework that things exist in. I thought it was great. I mean, having the spirit of Zoe, you know, inhabiting the machine. Having, you know, the what's her friend, Lacey come in there and dialogue with it, watching how, just like you said, Kat, watching how the AI was trying to justify the loss of Zoe, was judging the people in the virtual world. So again, we're seeing how the Cylons are saying, wow, you know, humans are really corrupt. Man, can you imagine what an AI would think of humanity by just eavesdropping in a chat room what people were doing? Or, you know, I mean, you know, that's a clear way of sort of going, man, this is the worst that humanity's got to offer. And then, you know, to throw in the religion on top of that in terms of, you know, Zoe as the human becoming disenfranchised with what she saw on Caprica and wanting to get it. This is making a very consistent evil, well, I won't say evil, but let's just say it's making a very consistent bad guy here and a solid groundwork for having a bad perception of what humanity is about. It's that all of that is working. All that's working. So from an AI standpoint, I was loving it. They did a good job in terms of creating a plausible framework for all of this stuff. I mean, you know, I can nitpick about some technical things. We can talk about that later. But overall, I really liked the way that they created this consciousness here. And first time it inhabited the Cylon, that was just beautiful.
Yeah,
the first step, Zoe, And then, you know, the waking up on the test bed. Oh, so well done. So well done. I couldn't even believe it was the Galactica crew. You know,
Actually, it was directed by this guy, Jeffrey Reiner. And he did the pilot, but he's not going to have anything to do with the show. So I'm a little scared about that because it's gonna.
Ready to say, my greatest fear is, you know, how much I enjoyed this pilot. If the series degrades into being, you know, this bland soap opera, which we've been afraid of the whole time, you know, I want them to equally liberally spread around the technology, the politics, the religion, the race. If we get, you know, a dash of technology and then six solid episodes, you know, of pain and I've lost my daughter and that kind of, I'm going to be very, very, very disappointed with Caprica. Before I saw Caprica, I heard, you know, this is going to be, you know, space soap opera. You know, this is going to be all about the lives of the people. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, this is going to suck. I really do not want.
I did too. I thought the same thing.
So for them to bring out the technology, for them to bring out, you know, the religion, the clash, and to build this so well. Now, come on, guys. You know, don't make this suck. Don't drag it down into something that is, you know, we're going to cheat on the special effects and we're just going
to,
you know,
they're going to do all that. You know that's coming. And I think we were able, Carl, I think we were able to accept Caprica because we had been over stuffed with emotion and drama with, like, Defying Gravity. So we saw the extreme of space opera with that. And so they came at a middle ground with us with Caprica. So I think we were able to, you know, accept it a little bit more.
Well, I mean, okay. I was trying to appreciate it as its own series separate from Galactica. So, you know, I can take a little drama. I can take a little drama, but you got to have some balance. This stuff's got to fit together. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be something different than just a soap opera. Show me why this is a science fiction series with drama, not why this is a soap opera. And that's what I really need to make sure that that's going on with the rest of Caprica. They did a great mix with the pilot. I really don't want them to take this in a boring.
It'll be one less show that I watch if they do that. I already don't watch nothing as it is.
Hi, Daddy. I thought that was you at the club yesterday. Thought I got away before you saw me. Guess I wouldn't make a very good spy.
You're an avatar. A virtual representation of Zoe. Nothing more.
I'm a little more than that. A lot more, actually. I'm sort of her. Crazy as that sounds, I am her. I'm Zoe Greystone.
Zoe is dead.
What I really liked about Caprica is how it looked. I thought it was very pretty. I thought it was very pristine. I like that it was clean and modern looking as opposed to Galactica, which was, you know, always gritty, always dirty. Everybody always wore uniforms. There was no really style of fashion. Here you have guys wearing fedoras and trench coats, and they look stunning. You have them smoking cigarettes and stuff. You never see that on TV, you know. It just brought up the sexiness. I mean, even Zoe had a pretty dress on. So for, I guess maybe, you know, the girls out there that want to watch for drama or maybe just, you know, eye candy or something like that, Caprica has that. The way the houses were built, they were so just beautiful. I mean, the interior.
Those houses were beautiful.
Yeah,
okay.
The interior design was just impeccable. And I think we missed that in science fiction because everybody wants to do something gritty under budget and blah, blah, blah. I am afraid, though, that, you know, because it's on sci-fi, doesn't have a budget, you know, we might not get to see that much. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure we'll get defined architecture. And again, I'm going to let them go about the Galactic Cam again. You see, if
they
you're
had
not trying to find... Yeah, listen. If you're not trying to find a ship in space, Galactic Cam is not so bad. But, you know, when you got a human face that's, you know, jogging all around the frame, it's not so bad, okay? It's not, and yes, they did it. It's like, come on, they come down the escalator. You know where the guy is. Give me a break. So I'm not even going to get into it with this. They did have a bit of the Galactic Camp, but it's not so bad when it's people. You know, when it's a head in frame and all that, it's not so bad. So I really didn't notice it that much. So I'm going to let that go. But, yeah, I agree with you. Watching society in decline is always fascinating when you know, watch stuff. We get to see, really, Caprica and the crew at the height of their civilizations. You know, the worlds are beautiful, the tram, and how they did the lighting and the photography, with the exception of the shaky cam, is so pretty. You know, it's that hazy light. Again, you know, there was this old, not so great miniseries called Wild Palms, which was supposed to introduce the world to what virtual reality was like. And they did the same kind of, you know, hyper colors and the sort of what do you call it? You know, the Vaseline on the lens, kind of haze, everything, and the beautiful, you know, outfits and all that. Which is why I said, you know, there were elements of all of this that they were bringing up so well in Caprica. It just felt like so the best of so many of the old cyber series that I really like. So yes, the outfits were awesome. You know, the sunglasses. Come on.
Yeah, I like those. I thought I'd hate them because they looked like they were, I don't know, cheap or I don't know. They weren't spectacular, but I think they work because they're not weird looking and you wouldn't be embarrassed to wear them. And they kind of, you know, they're kind of cool. So yeah, I do. I like those.
And the interfaces, the computer interfaces, where they were drawn on the paper and the light was coming up from behind the paper.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was a little disappointed by the paper because it looked like actual paper, and I wanted to be like sleek, you know, like how you see in other science. But then I kind of it grew on me because I was like, well, you know, because you can crumple it up, it kind of looks like real paper, and you know, it doesn't have to be shiny. Glossy paper
The thing that was cool about that, though, is that, you know, because we're not far from that, you know, from being able to do stuff like that.
Oh, they have it. I saw it at CES this year.
And it made the whole thing about the technology in the flick, even though some of it may have been a little bit advanced. It was still believable. Somebody took the time and the thinking, okay, I got a bunch of, you know, I got a bunch of nerds that are going to watch this, and they're going to pick this apart. And actually, somebody actually took some thought into, okay, if we're going to make this interface, what can we do to make it believable? I did not see anything in this movie that I could, even though it's fantasy, it still did not, I didn't get that far-fetched feeling like I would in some other sci-fi realms, you know?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. That kind of impressed me as far as the technology and everything went.
It did have a certain consistency about it that really impressed me. You know, I, it's a big deal for me. If you're going to be putting sci-fi shows together, stuff's got to, you know, fit together with some kind of laws. And I don't care how crazy it is. It could be the most ridiculous thing. You know, it can be as ridiculous as you want. But just make it sort of feel like it all hangs together.
Speaking of making it realistic, Carl, is that a part of like the orgy and the naked scenes or something like that? That was their virtual world. And I thought that for a virtual world, once I knew what it was, because before when I saw the previews, I didn't know. I just thought they were going to be, I thought it was an actual club, and then it was just how their society was as a whole and at this real
like
life club.
But
they said that this was a virtual world, and I say, well, this is kind of realistic because I play like Second Life, and that's exactly how people behave. They do, you know, they push everything to the limit. In Second Life, you're going to get shot. You can walk on an orgy anytime and it's just crazy stuff. So I thought the virtual world aspect of the show was very realistic and very spot on. What I didn't care for is that teenagers would actually go through the orgies and the shooting and all the wild stuff to find a religious person to follow. I thought that was a little weird, but
I thought that was kind of realistic because you know, extremes drive, we are driven by extremes, And basically, I could see how having too much or experiencing something too much could potentially get you to desensitize to it in a way and push you towards the opposite side, to where you could walk through something like that and be and just totally phase it out. You know, I think that there's some kind of realism to that.
Not only that, I mean, remember what we saw was cyberspace. So, you know, these kids, just like the whole club, had been hacked. You know, that they had created a pocket where that place existed on their version of the internet. Then, of course, you know, you're going to get the kids that cut a little space in that for their own, you know, religious, you know, their own little religious room. So, you know, don't think of it as they were walking through an orgy to get there. It just happened to be a chat room, and they created the new room next to that where they had their, you know, their little Bible meeting or whatever. So, you know, that held together well.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me,
Mister?
Right now?
Yes. Where you been?
Broke away to watch the Cowboys losing.
No. I just realized this because I have been trying to chime in like multiple times.
We couldn't hear you because I was like, Eric, and I was like, where did he go?
I just realized like 5 minutes ago that my mic plug got partially unplugged. I'm dying over here.
Oh,
I'm dying.
Oh my God! Because I couldn't. I was
That's
like,
a likely story. We were talking about you like you going to the game. Like,
well, I know he's not watching Cowboys lose 27-3. That's just disgraceful.
I was talking back to you guys, and I was like, wow, no one is even reacting to anything I'm saying.
Now we hear you.
Oh my goodness! I've been pushing my buzzer here, going crazy. I'm literally trying to jump in. Literally, I'm like, wow, everyone's just talking over me. No one's even.
Oh
like,
my God,
wow.
We wouldn't do you like that, Eric. My God. I was wondering. I was like, that is so rude. He went to go watch Cowboys.
All right. Let's give him the talking. Okay. The talking feather here. Go,
all right.
What's up,
my
Eric?
Goodness.
So, Eric, what did you think of Capricorn?
Oh, man, 40 minutes ago, I wanted to say, oh my goodness, I have a ton of notes, and now we're not going to get to like a fraction.
No, it's cool. Go ahead.
You got it.
Just refer back to what people said, like you said, and then I felt like blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Just go ahead. Yeah. Run with it.
Yeah. Well, wow, Caprica, I want to say, this show to me is such a interesting animal. It's so unique to me from everything we're used to in sci-fi on television and whatnot. I think it's much greater than the sum of its parts for some reason, because, like you were saying earlier, Kat, I think, like, on paper, before I ever got to see it, it sounded like a disaster waiting to happen to me. It really did. I mean, calling it a prequel and, you know, this and you know, prequels, that's pretty dicey right from the beginning, because you know the climax already. And also, yeah, I know it's from the same creative team, essentially, from BSG, but, you know, we saw Bionic Woman, and that was, like, pretty messed up. And so I was really worried. And I bought it when it first came out, and I watched, like, just the first 5 or 10 minutes, which was just that crazy hyper club scene. And really, I was like, wow. I mean, I knew it was a virtual world, but I still was like, oh, I didn't want to see any more. And I shelved it for many months when it was brand new. I didn't get past the first 5 or 10 minutes, and finally I came back to it, and the train scene really got my attention, because I just wasn't expecting something like that early on. And although I knew that Zoe was going to have like an alter avatar persona, I did not know that the original Zoe was going to be killed right off from the start. Really got me by surprise. Really got me engaged from that point onward. And then now, having seen it twice, and again, I mean, because I had to watch it again today as well, because it's been a while since I watched it, I think it's really interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. There's so much going on, because, like I said, it could have been a complete debacle, but it's interesting, because it is a sci-fi show without the spaceships and the swashbuckly kind of action. It is more on an intellectual level. And I don't read a lot of true sci-fi books, novels, but I imagine this is what true sci-fi novels are like. The only ones I've ever read are like, you know, Star Trek or Star Wars Expanded Universe. You know, I've never really read like the true sci-fi. I've listened to podcasts about the literary sci-fi, but I've never actually read it firsthand. And this is what I imagine it's like. I imagine they deal with these kinds of issues, you know, because it is the fun. It's like just like the everyone knows about the original classic Star Trek. Everyone said, "Ooh, they can get away with talking about today's issues because they're set in this fantastical future world." Well, this show kind of does the same thing in a different way because they can deal with all kinds of current issues today in a world that is actually very similar to ours, but yet different at the same time. And so I just see so many possibilities of storytelling, assuming they have the crew of writers that they need. There's so many stories I can see told here with the whole break. I love seeing how the Adamas are this Torin people. And I love like how Daddy Adama, I can't think of his first name right now, but I like how he has these family ties to the Halatha, like gangsters, and you know how he has all these forces tugging at him. I've always been a fan of Eric Stoltz from Mask and Pulp Fiction. I've always been a fan of him primarily because of those two movies, and I just love seeing him be Eric Stoltz.
I totally forgot about Mask.
Oh crap, that was him.
Eric Stoltz has been in so many B and C movie productions, and yet I've always been holding a candle for him just because I just put him in Mask and Pulp Fiction, and I'm thinking, wow, this is perfect. I love watching him, and I love seeing La Bamba's brother being the Dama guy because because I mean he was in
Esai Morales.
Because he was last seen in that what was that show with the nuclear disaster town?
Jericho? He was in Jericho, wasn't he?
Exactly. That's when we last saw him.
He sure was.
But he was wasted in Jericho because he just played the cardboard military, you know, dictator type, and it was very two-dimensional character.
No, not really, because in the end he had to like make a decision and go easy on everyone.
I guess he was so suave in Caprica.
My God, that fedora.
Watching it again today, I was like, yeah, this guy could be Adama's father. Like, I could see this. And he did have a lot of strong – because he's only been in BC productions himself in his career. And I saw him pull off some really good dramatic performances. So, I'm crazy excited. Let's see.
What's their original name? Because he was like, this is not your name. Your name is Adama. And I was like, ooh, yeah.
Well, they changed it to – they changed it to Adam.
Oh, Adam, okay.
Yeah, and also I think, again, it could have been a disaster. I'm interested in the fact that this premise for the show was originally another guy's idea. I can't think of his name right now. It's on Wikipedia. But originally this show was pitched by a separate guy that had no ties to the VSG franchise. It was pitched as a standalone VR-related kind of story. And then Moore and Ike got wind of it and thought, we could combine this with whatever Caprica idea they had. So again, it sounds like a disaster. Like when you think about it like that,
I'm still scared.
I was worried going in too because I was like, how are they going to do like the pre-BSG story and make it kind of like Lawnmower Man? I was like, this is weird.
Oh yeah, Lawnmower Man.
I love that movie. The second one sucked though, but yeah.
And also the other Ron D. Moore like stillborn show of
Virtuality.
What was it called? Virtuality. Yeah, and that was his show as well. And I was like, you know, again, made me worry about Capricorn because it kind of dealt with some of the same premises as well with the whole virtual reality. But when I actually finally saw Capricorn, I was like, this actually works.
Yes.
I was not expecting to see any of the little robot helper droids and things. Like, I didn't think there was going to be little robots.
I love
or
those.
Anything like that. So that was a completely unexpected bonus.
That was totally awesome. By the way, you know, the guys at RoboDynamics look like they have already started on Surge. So if you want to look what a modern one looks like, they've got something like that already. It's cool. It's cool.
Cool.
I also was not in any way anticipating seeing the prototype Cylons. That I just was not expecting that at all. It wasn't on my
I liked it.
So that, yeah, more bonus there. And I don't know. I just see so much potential. And I think they actually do, ironically, have a plan put out this, at least for this first season. I really think they do. And I really
Please
think
don't say they have
this
a
plan. Is just scratching the surface. Because I remember when I originally saw the miniseries of BSG when it first came out, I thought, just the miniseries by itself, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. But I remember thinking, how are they going to drag this into a full season or two? And they surprised me when they did. And then this one, I see that, like, wow, this is just the miniseries, so to speak. I think there's so much more that they're just waiting to unveil to us that we don't even know yet, that we don't see coming.
That's how we felt about BSG, though. And then they just gave
I'm being negative.
Okay. I'm being negative.
But it worked for BSU for the first 2.5 series or so. They did it well. And I think that we're going to get a lot of pleasant surprises in the new episodes to come. So I'm really intrigued about this show. I'm really ready to see it come on. And again, wow, I first heard about this show back in, early 2008, and I remember them saying this could be a series in 2010, and I'm thinking, my goodness, 2010 sounds like it's so far away.
And here we are. Yeah. Well, you know, so I like, they had William B. Davis, which was Cigarette Smoking Man in X-Files. I like that he was in there.
Yay,
I really...
me too. I was cheering. I was totally cheering when I saw him.
Too bad he got his throat slit. I hope it's not the last that we see of him because he is such a great
He'll
bad guy.
He'll be on Fringe. I know he's going to show up on Fringe. I'm just waiting.
Oh, he
that.
Hasn't shown up on Fringe yet. Ooh, I can't wait.
I was expecting him to be Rossum in Dollhouse. I was expecting that actor to be the head honcho in Dollhouse.
I think maybe he could get downloaded into a robot at some point. Maybe he'd be in another. I was hoping maybe that or something. And also Polly Walker, which is she was from the TV series Rome, who was the headmaster, mistress or whatever of the school that they went to, who was the undercover recruiter for the weird religion.
Oh, the undercover nun.
Her.
I can give you
Polly Walker.
I can give you a spoiler on her if you want, or I can just keep it to myself.
Keep it to yourself, because I have a hard enough time getting pumped up about Caprica. Spoiler? Is it a good spoiler? I don't know. She's so evil.
I guess from your point of view, it's a negative spoiler. Yeah.
How do you know my point of view? Look at him.
No, I can just. It's not like it's going to spoil the finale or anything. But it's kind of common knowledge.
Let's vote. Do we want to hear the spoiler, Carl?
I don't think it greatly affects the show as a whole, but at least it'll. Yeah.
Carl, do you want to hear the spoiler?
I'm going to pass on it because we got a week. I think we can make it a week.
Okay. All right. I hope I don't run across
it. It won't be a spoiler anymore in 1 or 2 weeks, so, yeah, whatever.
Okay. I just have another noted nitpick is that they showed, a whole bunch of women TNA. They need to show some man A or something.
You know, that's funny that you said that. That's funny that you said that because when I was watching The Plan earlier today, and they have that that scene in the locker room in The Plan, with Gaius talking to Six, I think, or whatever, but the big nudity locker room scene in The Plan, and they were commenting that that's the exact reason why they showed that male full frontal in that scene was just to throw females a bone because there had
been so
much
speak.
TNA.
Oh, he didn't have to do that.
No pun intended, but since there was so much TNA also in The Plan, they specifically tried to purposely catch that in BSG just to kind of even things out. And it's interesting too because I saw the DVD, of course, which has all the TNA. But last night I started watching the on air version on Hulu.
I want to see that.
And it's interesting because everyone's wearing basically bikini tops and whatnot. So because I was wondering how are they gonna cut this all out. Well, they really cut it all out. So
they reshot it, but everybody had on bikinis.
Everything was doubly shot, and there's basically less scenes, and then the scenes you do see, like the females are all wearing like bikini tops or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely cleaned up for prime time. But yes, bring it on. I just wish it was on Blu-ray. Well, it's like the only DVD I watched in the last 12 months because I didn't have a choice.
I'm going to agree a lot with what Eric was saying because there was a certain, I don't know, a symmetry, a complexity to the story and to what was going on in Caprica. I mean, the potential, like little things. I really liked the fact that the birth of the Cylons came from, you know, the loss of these daughters. You know, just the fact that the machines were created from that kind of pain automatically from a classic storyline, right from the beginning, condemns the machines. You know, you just know, oh, mm-hmm. No good can come of this. I loved, you know, everybody was watching it, of course, but, you know, hello, this means that Adamas were responsible for the creation of the Cylons.
Yeah.
Wait, how is that again?
Because it takes you back to that first scene, or one of the first scenes in the miniseries, where Adama makes that speech about being responsible for the things that we've done. He was there. That's kind of huge if you think about it. Adama was there when this whole thing got started, and then he wound up fighting in the war against them, and so now he says, hey, you know, look at us. Oh, how good are we? Why do we deserve to live? Well, we're killing each other and going through all this stuff, and then we play God and make these things that try to destroy us. You know, all the times where you wondered why he felt, you was wondering through the whole series why his character felt responsible for things, but yet he was there. His father was there. When this whole thing, he didn't make the AI or anything.
He didn't create them.
But he did
steal the chip. Remember, it's
right. I forgot that. I'm sorry. They had
no place for Zoe to live. So yeah, Adamas are directly responsible for the creation of the sun. So I mean, it is just all of this great symmetry going on. Where, you know, like Eric said, it's fodder for some fascinating, fascinating stories, and they can do some really interesting things with the tension. I mean, there's so much tension set up in all these different dimensions. Now, the question is, are they going to effectively take advantage of this? Because, look,
no.
We can find tension. We can find tension in many fine modern series that are on television today, but then go off the rails and jump the crustacean and fly off the base. I'm bothered with time, but that's another show. I'm afraid. I'm excited, but I'm also very afraid. Because look, I don't want to be disappointed again. I do not want to be disappointed.
You don't want your heart broken again.
I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, I've been hurt so many times before. It's on sci-fi. Come on, guys, don't do this to me. You know, or it'll turn out really great, and then they'll just cancel it spontaneously. That, you know, that's something else they're good for. So, I'm worried.
Well, if Sanctuary can stay on for two seasons,
I would be curious to see if this thing, you know, if they let this thing escalate and continue into the first Cylon War and how they would redo that. That would be kind of cool if it lasts that long, you know?
And then it would be BISG all over again.
How Adama went through flight school and you know, the whole shot. That would be cool if they could keep that story going. But,
you know, I'm interested in, Finny, I'm interested in, like, more of the other worlds. I want them to be kind of like Deep Space Nine in that, you know, sometimes we would go to Bajor, you know, sometimes we would go to different planets and learn about the different races. So I really want them to do that because some of the, I guess, racial episodes of BSG kind of fell flat because they didn't really get into them. They were kind of cliche. But, I mean, I think they have an opportunity to go to, I guess, Adama's planet and see how it doesn't have any flowers or, you know, stuff like that. I really want them to.
I think they're definitely going to play that. I think they're definitely going to play that hand. I think that's part of where they plan on going, is exploring more into the cultures of the different colonies. I can't imagine why they wouldn't. You know, mm-hmm. It already seems very apparent just from the first episode with the Taurons and versus the Capricans. Yeah. I think for premiere miniseries, whatever you want to call it, I think this is some of the strongest potential I've seen recently in, you know, at the new shows. Just judging from the first by itself.
It was surprisingly good, yes.
Yeah, so. Yes, surprisingly.
Exactly.
Okay. So, final thoughts on both, I guess, BSG, The Plan, and Caprica, if we want to go. Well, let's just go final thoughts on Caprica, because we already know how we feel about The Plan. So, Phineas, final thoughts, Caprica.
Okay, we all know The Plan sucked, even though I did watch it a few times. I just like torture. You know, because some of the stuff on it was cool, but overall, I wasted my money on it and bought it. So there you go.
I'm
you know,
sorry.
Got me.
Yeah.
The Caprica thing, I like I said, I really hope that they decide to go forward and make something out of it that's for real, and not turn it into a Dallas in outer space. You know, like
which is exactly how it was pitched.
So-and-so and then sleeping around with so-and-so. I don't want to see none of that. As long as they stay true to, you know, where they're going as far as, you know, the development of these new beings and how it relates to everything else. And as long as they stay in that realm, I think it's going to be a pretty cool deal, and it should turn out to be a good TV series. But that's about all I have to say about that. But it was the Caprica was worth buying, but The Plan wasn't. So that's the end of that.
I was just going to say, as long as they don't have a shower dream scene, that's I'm
oh,
good.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was all a dream. That I was just
as long as they don't have that, it'll be all right.
Oh, God. Oh, that would suck. All right. That was your final thought on that, Eric?
No. My final thought is, yeah, you know, I dug BSG The Plan, but that was, you know, the end. That was the cherry on the end, the send-off, see you later.
Rotten cherry.
Caprica is much more exciting for me just because, obviously, it's just the beginning. And I'm just looking forward and hoping they're going to execute this well. And this could be, you know, right up there with my number one or number two most anticipated show, like week in, week out. You know, I just hope that it all works out. Because, you know what, Flash Forward started off strong too and then wavered for me. So, you know, I hope this stays strong all the way, you know.
Okay. All right. And Carl.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore The Plan and just focus on Caprica here. And, yeah. I just don't want to forget the science in the science fiction stuff here. I don't want this to degrade. And because, well, you know, they got budget restrictions. We understand that. You know, we'll give them a break. But, man, some of my favorite stuff involved watching that Cylon prototype in this. You know, that was just really, really rocking technology. And the story surrounding the technological side of this was also very interesting. You know, is that a soul? Is that not a soul trapped in the machine? You know, what's going on how is the religion following an AI? All of that is really, really interesting stuff. If this degrades into just debates about religion or, you know, stories about only debates between different race groups and haves and have-nots, we've seen that before. Use the fact that this is a science fiction story to show us something new, take us someplace different. Fingers crossed. I'm optimistic about what Caprica can be.
As long as we don't start hanging out with the Caprican carnies, I'm
good.
Oh,
that's a sad hobo.
Gaia's father.
Not you, so written.
God.
African Jerry Springer. Jerry
Oh, my God. Oh. All right. Well, I am I hope for the best with Caprica. It had a good start. I'm really intrigued. I want it to be great. I want to love this show. Hopefully, they'll, you know, make it work. That's our show. I'm Kat, and we had today with us Phineas, Carl, and Eric. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686. Visit us at scifipartyline.com And we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
There are those who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
We're not talking about that right now.